The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 4, beginning at the first verse. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you, then, will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Christ. Well, what are you giving up for Lent? It's a popular notion that we ought to give up something during this 40 days based on the 40-day fast of Jesus in the wilderness where he ate nothing at all. Some might give up eating meat on Fridays or abstain from wine or chocolate or dessert. Some might cut back on their television watching or their internet browsing. Someone decided to go on a diet for Lent, and a friend said, "Well, if it's to lose weight, don't pretend you're doing it for Jesus." This friend also pointed out that since Sundays aren't technically counted as days in Lent, Sunday's always a celebration of the resurrection, you can indulge as much as you want on the Lord's Day. It's not the best diet plan. Now, some people go on a complete fast for a day or two. I think it's a good idea. I've done it a couple of times, and I should probably do it more often. It does make one aware of how to fill the emptiness, how we sometimes try to fill the emptiness in our lives, the deeper hungers in our lives, with physical food and other things that really do not satisfy. We look for a quick fix for anything we think we need whenever we sense a loneliness or an emptiness in life. We want to fill it with something. We grab a Snickers bar, or we go shopping, or we turn on the television, or we go on Facebook. We turn up the music. We pour another glass of wine. We all have our ways of filling the void and the emptiness in our lives. Giving up some of the things that we use to fill our emptiness might be a kind of a way by which we can participate, at least in a small way, with Jesus' fast in the wilderness, where he waited for the Spirit of God to fill him, to prepare him to be obedient to God's mission to which he had called him, for his journey to the cross. The devil tempted Jesus to find an easier way, to settle for less, to establish an earthly kingdom. The devil tempted Jesus to use his power to meet his own needs, to ensure his own survival. If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. But Jesus said no. Living by bread alone, just to satisfy one's physical needs, is not always the way that God wants us to respond to him. And then the devil tempted Jesus to use his power to establish a political empire. The devil says, use my powers of domination and violence to rule the world. Instead, Jesus emptied himself of any desire to become great and powerful. If he had accepted the devil's invitation, he certainly would have avoided death on the cross. And then the devil himself turns to Scripture for a final temptation, quoting from Psalm 91, part of our call to worship this morning. The devil tempts Jesus to use God for his own success and popularity by jumping off the temple and having God's angels protect him. Jesus could give the people dramatic proof of who he was. But Jesus again said no. He would not use God for his own popularity and success. The devil offered good things, bread and power and protection. He even uses Scripture. But the whole point of the devil's temptations was to drive a wedge between Jesus and the Father in heaven. And isn't that the temptation that we all face, the temptation to live on our own terms, to be independent and self-sufficient? If we can say no to just a few of our desires and wants during Lent, maybe we can say yes to God a little bit more often. We can leave more room for the Holy Spirit. In our affluent Western culture, we are programmed to be consumers, to say yes to anything that might fill whatever we want or desire. Our lives are filled with binge-watching and new devices and engrossing entertainment and whatever makes us feel filled. But it's like eating food with no nutritional value. Now, don't be looking for Lent in the Bible. There's no such thing in biblical times. There is some evidence that early Christians fasted at certain times, especially during the 40 hours between Good Friday and Easter. But the custom of spending 40 days in prayer and self-denial did not really come about later, when the initial rush of Christian adrenaline was over and believers had gotten somewhat ho-hum about their faith. They became very comfortable. In her commentary on Jesus' temptations, Barbara Brown Taylor suggests how Lent might have come about. She writes, "When the world did not end as Jesus himself said it would, His followers stopped expecting so much from God or from themselves. They hung a wooden cross on the wall and settled back into their more or less comfortable routines. Little by little, Christians became devoted to their comforts instead. The soft couch, the flannel sheets, the roasted leg of lamb. They decided there was no contradiction between being comfortable and being Christian. And before long, it was very hard to pick them out from the population at large. They no longer distinguished themselves by their bold love for one another. They did not get arrested for championing the poor. They blended in. They decided to be nice instead of holy. But then she goes on to say that there were those in the church who believed it was time to call Christians to a more authentic and sacrificial faith patterned after the life of Jesus. Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, depriving himself of all the comforts of life and being tested by the devil, gave some clues about how Christians might renew their faith. And so the early church announced a season of Lent, from an old English word, Lenten, meaning spring. Not only a reference to the season before Easter, but also an invitation to prepare for a springtime of the soul. 40 days to be cleansed of the excesses that clutter our lives and that tempt us to settle for less. 40 days to remember what it's like to follow Jesus and live by the grace of God. I guess we could say that Lent ought to be hard, because we have come to rely so much upon our own resourcefulness to make us comfortable. We don't have to depend on God so much when we have everything we need. And when we get too comfortable, we forget about others. I think back in my own life when I was beginning a ministry in Chicago, I participated in an urban studies program, which was done not only in a classroom, but out on the streets. I remember that one of our assignments was to go out and find a job, usually temporary day work like unloading trucks, to get a sense of what it's really like when you're unemployed and you stand in line at 5 o'clock in the morning to get picked for a day's work. But then the real test came about midway through the course when we were sent out on our own on what was called the 36-hour plunge. With nothing except the clothes we were wearing and with no money in our pockets, we were sent out for a day and a half with none of the comforts of having food to eat or a place to sleep or a friend by our side. We were on our own. We had to ask strangers for money or for food. It was winter time, and I remember how somehow I collected $5 to stay for a night in a so-called hotel with chicken wire that divided the ratty beds one from another. When you go solo and you don't have everything you need handed to you, you find out a lot about yourself and your level of trust in God. In Lent, we intentionally deprive ourselves of some things so that there will be some empty places where only God can fill. I've heard it said that 99% of us are addicted to something, whether it's eating or shopping or being entertained or complaining or blaming others. We use our addictions to fill the empty places inside of us that belong to God. The emptiness we sometimes feel is not a sign that there is something wrong. It is the holy places inside of us where the Spirit wants to dwell. But oftentimes there is no room. We need less, not more. Pope Francis, in his Lenten message, said that along with giving up things like chocolate or alcohol or some other indulgence, we ought to give up indifference, which comes about when we become too comfortable and self-sufficient. He said, indifference to our neighbor and to God represents a real temptation for us Christians. Each year during Lent, we need to hear once more the voice of the prophets who cry out and trouble our conscience. We end up being incapable of feeling compassion at the outcry of the poor, weeping for other people's pain and feeling a need to help them, as though all this were someone else's responsibility and not ours. In other words, if our fasting or whatever we give up for Lent is only for ourselves and does nothing to benefit others, these Lenten sacrifices become very superficial. The season of Lent is meant to be hard. I guess it's ironic that this year St. Valentine's Day falls on this first Sunday of Lent, while we're indulging ourselves with chocolate and celebrating romance, we're simultaneously promoting fasting and warning against self-fulfillment. I read about a pastor who was fired from his position in the church. You can imagine that it caused him and his family a lot of grief. Some of his preacher friends came to cheer him up and offer their support. But he said, you know, when you think about it, it's amazing that we preachers don't get fired more often. His friends asked, why do you say that? Well, he said, here we are expecting people to pay us to tell them things they don't want to hear. The whole world is busy attempting to climb the ladder of success, to make their country great again, to make life secure. And here we are trying to tell people to kneel down, to put others ahead of themselves, and to sacrifice for the good of others. I think it's amazing, he said, that any of us are still working and getting paid. Well, I think it's amazing that so many of you keep coming every week, even in a freezing cold winter Sunday like this, not to benefit yourself or become more successful or make life easier, but to give up things for God's sake, to make sacrifices, to think more about others than yourself. In other words, to worship the Lord your God and serve only Him. We are tempted, as Jesus was, to settle for less. But he shows us the way to an abundant life through sacrifice and service. Though he refused to turn a stone into a loaf of bread for himself, he did feed the hungry. Though he refused political power for himself, he proclaimed God's kingdom of justice and peace and turned the world upside down. Though he refused to jump off the temple to see if God would send angels to catch him, he goes to the cross and dies in confidence that God will raise him up. Now, to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen.